good evening. So I think it's obvious to anyone who turns on TV, listens to the radio, takes a quick peek at social media that we live in a pretty messed up world in a lot of different ways. We live in a world that has some serious problems, a world that has fallen, is sinful, a world that is in rebellion against God and His commandments. Of course, as Christians, that's not surprising to us because we know that this all started with the fall, shortly after creation, and it won't end until Christ returns. And there's very little that we can do to change the world at large, right? I mean, we're all just individuals. Me, with my very limited resources, very limited influence, very limited power, how could I change the 7 or 8 billion people around the globe? At least that's what it feels like oftentimes. It feels like that we have no power. It feels like that we have a task that is too large for us to fulfill. It feels like there's no way to curb the rampant growth of sinful behavior just in this country, let alone around the entire world. When we see things like the growing acceptance of overtly sinful lifestyles, for example, in the LGBTQ movement, we see people being fired from their jobs or sued in courts or physically assaulted because they present an idea that is in opposition to this concept of man being a woman or a woman being a man or being something in between. And that gets discouraging when we see things like that. When we see Christians being murdered in places all over, like in Nigeria or Syria or other places, with little to no condemnation of such acts and little to no action being taken to prevent such acts, it gets kind of scary. When we see places in this country that vote to allow the murder of a baby up to labor and birth, and some who even support the murder of a baby after it is born, it becomes heartbreaking. Something is wrong when there's more protection for a dog or a turtle or a polar bear than there is for a human child. When we see the proliferation of sexual activity outside of the marriage union, the cohabitation of non-married couples, we see even more evidence of this rebellion against God. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It is evil and sinful to call good behavior bad and bad behavior good, to substitute right for wrong. And this is happening more and more in today's world. And it's our job as Christians to combat that behavior and to combat it with God's love. Romans 12, verses 17 through 21 say, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place for wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is to be our response as Christians, to overcome the evils of this world with good. Not to accept evil, not to compromise with evil, but to overcome evil with good, to conquer darkness with light. And we know that God is that light. And I think most of us know that already, but I find it's always helpful to remind ourselves of the battle that we're in every single day. The battle, as Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, that's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And if we forget that we're in that battle, that spiritual battle, then we begin to lose. We'll begin to give in, to compromise with evil, calling evil good and good evil. And that compromise, it can be a real slippery slope. Just look at one of many examples, Pontius Pilate. If you remember, Pilate, he had issue with what the Jews were doing to Jesus. If you remember Matthew's account, Matthew 27, we read, now at the feast the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ. They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that that a tumult was arising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew it was wrong to condemn him. He knew all of this. He was warned by his wife to have nothing to do with it, but he gave in to those around him. He gave in to the sinful desires of the crowd, thus killing the Son of God. He tried to downplay or deny his role in it, but the fact remained that he was instrumental in the murder of Jesus Christ. And the same can happen to us. If we compromise, if we try to tell ourselves that the sinful behaviors of those around us, they're not really our fault, they don't have to do with us, yet we go along with it, and we don't stand against it, then we're just as guilty as Pilate was in his participation in the murder of Christ. If we don't stand up for truth, if we don't stand up for marriage, for modesty, for sound biblical teaching and biblical worship, if we don't stand up for the lives of unborn babies, if we don't stand up for the sanctity of the marriage union and condemning premarital sexual activity, and the list goes on and on, if we don't stand up for those things, then we might as well be doing it ourselves. But we are in a fierce battle with the devil. And it's our responsibility to be on the side of God. And so to close, I simply wish to encourage us to remain steadfast in the Lord, stand up against evil without compromise, and to not lose sight of the truth of God's word. And so if you're here tonight and you've been living in sinful lifestyles, now's the time to turn away from that, to join Christ and his family. To become a Christian, you simply have to believe that Christ is who he says he was, confess his name before men, repent of an old lifestyle, turning toward a new life with Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And from there starts the real work of living for Christ every single day, being faithful until the day you die. And if you've already done those few things and you need to confess some sin before your brothers and sisters here, now is the time to do that as well. And so any need whatsoever, please come forward as together we stand and as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse its blood, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb. Son of God I come. I come. You're now to